Moms Unscripted is a production of MOPS International. If you'd like to find a group near you, go to mops.org/group search. If you'd like to start a group, go to mops.org/start a group.
Hey friends, today we are talking to a major boss who started her now multi-million dollar business. Yes, that's right, with three toddlers and a nursing baby. As you'll hear from her story, she was in a season of desperation and necessity became the mother of invention. In our conversation, she offers her own story of going from poverty to empowered and how she's made key decisions along the way. I read an article this week that talks about findings from a recent survey of mompreneurs. We'll link to that article in our show notes. And I thought these statistics were super interesting. So 71% of mompreneurs still serve as the primary childcare provider. They regularly put in a second shift after kids go to bed, and they are also more likely to sacrifice working out and socializing over missed family time. Another statistic that is super interesting is 64% hang out with friends less since starting their business, and 88% spend less than 3 to 4 hours a week on their hobbies. So these stats tell me that balance is elusive and moms are making personal sacrifices to make their business happen. So we're going to talk about this and all sorts of other things with our guest today. So let's meet her. Ali Casaza is on a mission to eradicate the hot mess mom stereotype by empowering other women. She's built a massive audience and multi-million dollar online business based on her proven family-oriented approach to minimalism. She's the author of Declutter Like a Mother and the host of The Purpose Show, a chart-topping podcast and the creator of multiple online programs and courses that garner tens of thousands of registrations each time they run. Her platform continues to grow every day as more women discover her life-changing approach to creating an abundant life. She was raised in Southern California and recently moved to Greenville, South Carolina with her husband, Brian, where they homeschool their four young children. Ali, welcome to the show. We're so thrilled to get to talk with you.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm super excited for this.
So we mentioned earlier that you are on a mission to eradicate the hot mess mom. So tell us more about that and what brought you to the work you're doing now.
Yeah. So the hot mess mom culture that I talk about all the time is really something that I guess we've all come into contact with it, whether we've realized it or not. But I really started to realize it after I started my business. So I've been blogging and kind of sharing and teaching on the internet for a little over a decade now, but actually started it like as a business and a company and all of that about 6 years ago. And as I started to really get deep in like paid work with other women, I just noticed that the same issues kept coming up. And I'm always like wanting to dig into the root, like, where is this coming from? Like asking why after every response that I get from like when I was working with clients. And it would all boil down to the same thing. Like, well, I feel like I should be, you know, insert whatever they felt like they should be doing or whoever they felt like they should be. And then I was like, well, where does this, like in my own work, like where does this come from? And when I would ask my clients this, it was always like, I don't know, I guess I just feel like this is the way it's supposed to be. And the media would come up a lot and things that they learned as children from their parents or their own mother and her like pressures on herself and from, you know, external sources like society would come up. And really it's this idea that you are, as a mother, your identity is in that role. Like you no longer are a woman and you're now just a mom. And there's this hot mess mom culture where it's a disaster all the time. It's an absolute crapshoot. You can't do anything about it. It's going to be like that all the time. Can't remember the last time you peed alone or took a shower or had a hot cup of coffee and or had a warm meal or enjoyed anything. And almost kind of like making fun of the moms that do make time and do make space for those things. And it's like this identity of it's a disaster all the time. And if it's not, then I am not a good mom. Mm-hmm. In the disaster, in the chaos and the burnout and the overwhelm and the depression, I am like, my badge of honor is there. That means I'm doing a good job. If you're not burned the heck out, then you're not doing a good job. And that is what I kept finding underneath all of these layers with my clients was this belief that almost unconsciously creating extra chaos, expecting constant hardship because they believed that that was what made them worthy. And they weren't able to just allow more ease. They wanted things to get decluttered. They wanted things to get easier, but they were sabotaging themselves because who are they without that constant struggle? They're not worthy. They're not good enough. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, it's like that messaging. You see it in media. We can look at the Mom's Night Out movies for a good example. The villain in movies like that and shows like that is always painted as like she's got it together. She goes to the gym. Her kids are appearingly, you know, perfect, but she's like taking care of herself. She's doing good. Of course, she's usually a total jerk. Mm-hmm. So that's not okay. But, you know, it's always like a part of her villainness is that she has it together. And then the heroine of the movie is always just this hot mess. And of course, everyone identifies with her because there's truth to that. But it's like this identity that it is a disaster. And you just like learn to be okay with the disaster. And it's like a super cute movie with Mila Kunis. And, you know, oh, that's a wrap. And it's like we're identifying with this just disaster mode. You're not supposed to set up camp and raise your kids in survival mode. Everyone gets there sometimes. But it's not, I don't believe that's where we're called to be. That's where we're called to live and do life. I think it's a dangerous thing to identify with.
Yeah. And I definitely think a lot of parents probably saw themselves as you're describing those two personas. What's the first step in all of this? Like you're in chaos, you're overwhelmed. What's the first thing that you need to start working on in order to, I guess, get a handle on things?
Yeah. And I also just want to add, like, if anyone is listening to this and you haven't heard my own story, I have been there to where it's like a deep pit of complete despair, absolutely depressed, even to the point where it was like, if I was honest with myself, I didn't really want to be a mom anymore, but that wasn't an option and I felt stuck. That is a really scary thing to realize when you don't know what the answer is. It was just constant overwhelm. Like you are stuck. You feel very, very trapped. So I get it. And now like getting myself out of that place, sharing online, gathering this like community of women, turning it into this company with this mission. Now I can take a step back and see the first step is the physical environment. The physical environment is everything. Marshall Goldsmith says, if you do not create and control your environment will create and control you. And again, if you listen to my story, and I have that, I can link to that for you guys in your show notes or whatever other places. That is what I did first. It was almost just like naturally, like an intuitive, I don't know what to do about all the inside stuff. So I'm just going to do the physical. It's very therapeutic when you don't know what to do with all of this to just like grab at the physical things and clear space. Then all the other stuff came after that. And I've done a lot of work and a lot of studying and a lot of working with so many amazing women over the years. And that has always been true. Start with the home. There's just something about it that is so therapeutic and you are literally physically getting rid of what's in your way and creating space. And teaching yourself lessons of, I guess I didn't need this. I'm okay without this. It's safe to let go of this. I deserve to enjoy my space. And then that kind of translates into, I deserve to enjoy what's on my calendar and not be constantly obligated to everybody else to where I'm running myself into the ground and decluttering that. What does that look like? What does it look like to stop overcomplicating your health and your wellness? What do you actually need there? What would actually serve you and feel good? And it just kind of goes into everything. So it feels like a lot. When we start with just the physical environment and we decide to take ownership of what's ours and not have our house working against us, making things unnecessarily harder, that's the best place we can start.
Ali, you referred to your story a few times. Tell us a little bit about your story and why you dedicated the book to your younger self.
So this part of my story that we're talking about started about 9.5 years ago, because I had just had my third baby. So I had a three-year-old that was regressing in potty training because there was a new baby in the house. And then I had an 18-month-old, and then I had a new baby.
Mm.
Actually, I guess he would have been 15 months. So yeah, it was like back to back to back, three under three. And it was absolutely a crazy, crazy time for sure. But I got to it like this was what I had in front of me, these three babies. This was my life. And I was struggling with it. And I would go to like women everywhere that were ahead of me in life. Friends, my mom's friends, women at church, just people that I knew in my life, and just kind of ask about, you know, I guess I was hinting like, am I okay? Is this normal, without giving all the details? Because the truth was, I'm depressed. I don't know if I should go on meds or not. It feels situational, but I don't know what to do about the situation. Every day I wake up and it's like dread. I can't do this again. I'm still tired from not even yesterday, like 3 months ago, and I can't breathe. But I can't say that because societal norms, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, just like, is this, you know, I'm just like feeling, this is just like really hard. And everywhere I went, everywhere I looked, the message was, oh, yup. Like, oh, girl, like, that's motherhood. What did you think was going to happen? Like, don't you know what causes this? LOL. Like, just joking about my situation and like, yeah. And like, oh, you think it's hard now? Just wait till they're teenagers. It was just this like,
wow,
hopeless message of like, not only is it bad and like, yeah, of course it is. Like, you're kind of an idiot for even doing this way and shaming in a joking way, which is such a backhanded slap. Like, it was so abrasive, but it's also going to get way worse and there is no hope and it's not going to get better. And then this whole message started to come out around that time of like, you know, the t-shirts at the stores that are like, you know, coffee till wine and then it's nine. Like, every mom is just like substance abusing, I guess, and like waiting for the like, what is happening, waiting for the next time their kids are asleep. This is not okay. That's the hot mess I'm talking about. This culture of this just is what it is. And so we're just going to like market you to drink all day because that's the only way to get through it. Like, it was so hopeless. And I was scared of becoming that person. So I'm summarizing like months and months and months here, but I got to a place where I was just like, it is unacceptable for me to feel this way. I don't want to feel this way. This is not the standard of being that I came into this world to live. And it's not acceptable for me to fix it the way everyone else seems to be fixing it, by just suppressing myself, dying to self, and just being miserable inside. But like, oh, like just serving my family. Like, I don't believe that's what abundant life is. I just don't. And so then I started trying to, like, I was blogging and being very honest about where I was at and trying to figure out. I did lots of tests and experiments with myself to make things lighter. I had an appointment with a doctor to get on medicine for depression. I was like, really just like, I'm going all in for everything. And then I had the night where I decluttered and I just was like, I'm just going to go for the physical space because that's really a source of time and stress for me, and I don't know what else to do. And everything changed. Literally the next day, my toddlers played for 2 hours in their playroom because it wasn't cluttered and overstimulating them anymore. And that was like, holy crap, like if this one room just gave me my morning and I had a hot cup of coffee and did yoga, what will happen if I do this with everything? And that was like the big awakening moment. And I never ended up going on meds. Not that there's anything wrong with doing that, but it wasn't necessary for me. Things cleared and cleared and cleared, and one layer after the next just was sloughed off. And I was made new by removing like physical and metaphorical weights in my life.
Wow.
How did it occur to you to declutter in that moment of like being down? Did you read something? Did it just like this? How did that come to you?
No, I didn't. I just, so the specifics of that specific day was, it was one of the worst days ever. I had been in a really hard time, like I shared, but that one day was extra hard. Like the kids were just like on my last nerve. I was super done. There was like diaper explosions and constant snack making. Like I just wanted a minute. I remember I had been trying to do something for myself. I forget what it was, like read a book or something, and I couldn't do it. And it was like 4 p.m. and I had wanted to do that at like 8 a.m. and I still hadn't been able to just take 5 minutes. And I was about to, you know, when as a mom, you can feel you're about to lose it and it's gonna be bad and it's gonna leave a lasting impression on the whole family. Like it was coming. And I just was like, these kids are too little for this. Like, I don't want to be like this. I can't take this. I got them in front of the TV and ran up into my bathroom, shut the door, and just leaned against the wall and cried on the floor for a good while. And just was like having that like come to Jesus moment, if you will, of like, what is happening? Why are you putting me through this? I was angry and it just all came out. I just like vented and cried. And I guess I was waiting for something really philosophical to drop into my mind or some big realization or spiritual awakening. And I all of a sudden just, you know, when it's like God is talking to you and it's just a thought that drops and you know it's not really yours. This thought just dropped in like, what if everything you're spending all this time on was just not there? And I mean, I literally saw, I almost had like, I won't say a vision, but I just had this like series of thoughts drop in that was like, everything was just gone and I wasn't having to do it all. And I was enjoying the kids and playing with them and teaching them to play and busy themselves for a minute so I could have a cup of tea or enjoy something. And it was like, okay, well, then my logic kicked in and it was like, I can't get rid of everything, but there's something to this. What if I just tried that? And you have to understand, this was like almost a decade ago. So minimalism, I didn't know that. I didn't know what that was. That wasn't a thing. It wasn't a trend. There was no documentaries or best-selling books on it. I just was desperate enough to give it like one last burst of energy to try. And so I got the kids like fed early, got them in bed early, and grabbed the trash bags and had at that playroom.
So
awesome.
Yeah, seriously. Ali, I love how your Instagram bio says that you help busy moms declutter every area of their lives. So I'm curious, what do you think are some of the biggest needs that moms have right now that you're seeing?
Right now, it's such an interesting time for what I do. Last year, you know, at the time we were recording this, that was 2020. I was very worried about my business, as I think everyone was. And it actually was the biggest year we'd ever had. And I think it was because, well, I know because they've told me that it was because people were realizing how miserable they are in their spaces, how unhappy they are at home. And also the calendars were cleared, right? We couldn't go anywhere. And they were also realizing how over, like, stretched so thin everyone was and how good it felt to just have a reason to cancel, to actually you had to cancel everything and just having space. And while that brought a lot of hardship for a lot of people, and I know domestic abuse was on the rise and there was a lot of really hard things, I think one good thing that came out of it was people realizing what it feels like to have space. And so the biggest needs right now that I'm still seeing, you know, as we continue in the pandemic and also some things get back to normal, is that when you're out and you're busy, that what you're busy with feels good, feels aligned, is who you really want to be, is how you really want to spend time. And then when you're done and you come home, that you feel peace and that that is your safe space and your environment is supporting you and not working against you, not requiring too much of your time and your energy. So I think those are the really big things. And then on the business side, which is another thing that I help women with, that you are in control of your finances is huge. That women are really wanting to create financial independence right now, especially with some of the things that have come out of this pandemic, and be in control of when money comes in, how it comes in, how much of it comes in, and just really realizing that it's worth it to live on purpose and take your message or whatever you're passionate about and make money helping other people with that thing.
Ali, where do you find the focus and energy to keep up with this way of living?
I think, honestly, because I know what the other side feels like, and it's so, I didn't realize how dark and how heavy it was, even though as I'm like sharing my story from that time, it's like, whoa, that's really, really bad. I didn't know that. I thought that everyone told me that that's how it was and that's how they were. And you don't know what anything except what's in yourself. And so now that I'm out of that and have had, even I had another baby and have moved and traveled and started a company since that time, I know what the other darker side feels mm-hmm. like. And it is so heavy. It is worth me checking in with how my home feels, checking in with how my work feels, checking in on my calendar, checking in on myself and my relationships and maintaining that to not go back there. And I don't think enough people realize that they're in it. Because you don't know what you've been yeah. carrying until the backpack mm-hmm. with the boulders is taken mm-hmm. off of you.
Mm-hmm. I'd love for you to talk a little bit more about business, because I think there are we resonate with what you're saying in terms of our audience and so many women out there that would like to create financial independence, that are in kind of a mompreneur space and want some, like, what are some tools or what's some feedback? How have you taken this personal experience and parlayed that into what you've created? And how can someone else not do that exactly, but start in that direction?
Yeah, I think if you don't know what you want to do, but you know you want the result. So if you know you want financial freedom, financial independence, you want to have an online business that is giving you freedom, but you don't know what it is, you have to get really clear on your calling. And you have to get clear on what skill you have, what story you've lived, what knowledge you have that you could save people. People will pay for the shortcut to something. They will pay to hear your life experience and what you've learned since then. That's the kind of business that I have. They will pay for your skill that they don't have. They will pay to learn the skill. If you're not doing the thing, they'll pay for you to teach them how to do the thing. And so those are the three types of businesses that you can take online, and you have to find where you fit in there, which one is going to really be aligned with you and who you are and what you have to offer.
Say those three again, then Allie, and then keep going. The three kinds of businesses. Say it again.
So a skill to teach or to perform as a service. I'm blanking because I don't know why.
Story?
The story that you've lived and sharing that and your experience and what you've learned and teaching people a new way of living. Like, that's the kind of business that I have. And then your expertise, having what are you an expert in? And that can be so many things. There's mm-hmm. so many different coaches and experts on the internet right now that are making a killing because people will pay for you, your energy, your brand, how you speak into their problem, not how this other person does. There's no shortage of availability for you to start an empire. It doesn't matter. We're no longer in a place where you have to fill a specific gap in the market. Everyone's filling every gap, but mm-hmm. everyone has their own personality and way of speaking. So it's almost like the internet has given us the gift where that limiting belief of it's already being done is moot. It doesn't have any space to thrive anymore because you're your own person and you would teach it your own way. And now more than ever, people are wanting that magnetic pull to different personalities and they want connection. So for example, like knowing that and shifting, one way that I use that to shift was everything in my business is very passive. I want freedom. I don't want to be like tied to anything. But instead of having passive things leading to the passive courses, I showed up live and started doing challenges and like live showing up with my audience for 5 days, then leading them into the passive curriculum. And that has like 1,000 times my business because things shifted. People want connection. This is the time to show up on Instagram, go live, speak your truth, share your message, tell them about your product and why it's helping you. People want connection and they want connection from lots of different people.
So there's gold. Women mm-hmm. that are like, that's okay, good. I know which one of those three I'm going to pick. I got it on lock. I always find it very helpful to know how someone went before me and things that didn't go well or things that they would have changed. So could you just name a few things of like, man, I just wish I would have known this from the get go, just to make sure that there's a couple steps that they get to potentially skip and not have to go mm-hmm. through if they're wanting to start their business.
Yeah, thank you for asking that question. That's like my favorite topic when it comes to business. I wish that I would have realized that I have complete permission to not do what the experts are saying. It's so frustrating when there's different experts saying, this is the way, this is my system, look at the proof, screenshots, testimonials, like all of this, like, this is the way. And then there's someone else that's very accomplished and saying, this, have you ever heard this? Have you ever heard this? Saying what the other person is saying all the time and being like, that's old, that's dead, that doesn't work. This is the way. Everyone is selling their like email funnels and their sequences and their templates and copy and paste to do like it. It's not coming from you if you're doing it that way. Don't let someone else tell you how to run your business. You wouldn't let someone else tell you like exactly what to do with your children. Like, you're the parent, you know. Your business is not a thing. It is another, like, pretend it's a person. You, like, and I teach this in my programs for business all the time, because just like if your business is a person, you need to have healthy boundaries. You need to like respect it. You need to like check in on how it's feeling and what it needs from you. Like, your business is yours. You were chosen to have that message dropped into your mind, to have that idea, to have this birthed out of you, just like you were chosen to be the parent of your children. So don't get advice and like seek wisdom, but don't let someone else tell you this is the way to sell and convert. Like, I feel like the energy when people are teaching business is very, very, very abrasive and harsh, and like it's overly masculine. It's almost like the conversation right now about toxic masculinity. It's like people are like that with business. We need to like relax and soften and learn how to breathe and feel and trust ourselves. I wasted so much time with templates and doing, buying courses I couldn't afford to get how they did this. And I use none of it, none of it. And I have a multi-million dollar brand just from feeling what she needs from me. What does this woman that is in a bad place, what can I do to help her? I didn't need someone to tell me how to do that. And I just show up where she is. She's on Instagram. She's checking her email. She loves Zoom. She loves connection. So that's where I show up. I don't need someone to tell me that. I just needed to trust myself, and I didn't. So trust yourself and get someone that you want to emulate, who has a business and a work-life balance, more importantly, that you want to emulate. Learn from them. Soak that up. But don't let them tell you exactly how to run your business, and never how to treat your community online.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Ellie, you started this business that you have when you had three toddlers and a nursing baby. And so I'm curious how you've managed motherhood and your work and your energy. How have you done it all at the same time? And let's also mention homeschooling your kids at the same time.
Mm. Yeah. It's very like, I think that people get overwhelmed when they hear like the list of things that I do, because they're thinking like that they would do it all perfectly. Or that they would do it all. Like, I think if you think that about homeschooling four kids, you probably have a feeling or an image pop into your mind about how that would feel. And I've learned that you can control that. I don't have to homeschool my kids out of a standard of, we got to do every subject every day, and I got to make sure I'm keeping all the records and doing all the grading. And our homeschool is so chill. The stuff that I hate, which is everything that's not creative, is delegated to an online school system. So it's like, I think it's like $15 a month per kid or something. It's like really cheap, and it's awesome. And it's like math, social studies, science, language arts, all that stuff. Like the school, the education, the meat of it is delegated, and it's easy. They just log in and do their thing. But I get to come in and tell them like how to feel God, how to connect with something bigger than themselves, how to feel the difference in a conversation with somebody and feel into like what they might be feeling and thinking and becoming empathic and these big things. It's so beautiful in the morning before I work, just for like a couple hours while I have my coffee. And so that's like, it's so chill. I'm not sitting there like, this is how you multiply. I don't know how to do it. I don't even remember. Like, just go online. I can't help you there. And then my husband is like checking in with them, making sure that they're not like farting around and they're like actually getting their stuff done. So that's that. And then the work, like the work is not work. The work is passion pouring out of me. Like, I cannot stop. But I also like take mad care of myself. Like, I am crazy about self-care and making sure I take space. I only work a few hours a day, 4 days a week. So I have a 3-day weekend every single week. I take huge breaks from social media And in the beginning, when I did not have that privilege and I had to hustle and make this happen because my family was in a really bad spot. I don't know if you guys are aware of that, but we were like welfare status. Like, it was really bad. We didn't have anything. We had everything repossessed from us. We got evicted twice. Like, we were like under the U.S. poverty line. And it was really, really, really bad. So I started my business with in that energy, I guess, which is like not ideal.
Desperation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I didn't have help. We didn't live near anyone that we knew. It was really, really hard. And so I always talk, when I talk about business, I talk about letting it be easy. And in that hard situation, like, what does it look like to let it be easy? It looks like not having the expectation that the kids are going to be perfectly quiet and you're going to get that focused 10 hours of work on your new company. It looks like sitting on the floor while they watch Dora the Explorer and I'm on my laptop teaching my brain how to focus amongst noise. Getting up at 4 a.m. for a while and working before my husband went to his job. It was in the fringe moments. It was learning how that I had to change something because I couldn't change the outside. So I had to change how I viewed things and be creative. And that's what entrepreneurs are doing. If you're not being creative and putting out fires, you're out of a job.
Mm-hmm. That's good. You shared something on Instagram recently that I'm obsessed with this, that you said, I had three dreams. Write a book, get it published, get it in Target. And you wrote the book and you got it published and Target said no. And you pushed and you pulled and you mobilized your community and you went back to Target with some statistics. And will you tell that story? And for the person who is, you know, sometimes a no redirects us and we need to hear that no. And sometimes we need to challenge a no. So, you know, I'm just curious to hear you tell that story and talk about that.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. There are certain things that have been a no that I'm just kind of like, you can just feel it. Like, it's like, oh, okay. But Target was, I don't even really know why. I guess like, because there's Walmart, you know, Walmart sells books and they actually have more stores than Target. But Target, maybe because it was such an integral part for me when I had little kids and it was just free to go there. And I would just walk around and dream about putting those kinds of beautiful things in my home. Like, to me then, Target was like, whoa, that's like, oh my gosh, like $19.99 for this? Like, I couldn't even fathom.
It's like Nordstrom.
Yeah. it was like the up level for me then. And so I guess it's probably that. And that's where my women are. That's where they go. That's where they decompress. That's where they like unwind and listen to their headphones while they just browse the aisles. And I want to be where she is. So it was literally a non-negotiable for me. I knew I was going to be there. I just knew. So when they said no, like, it was a hit and I felt it and I was sad. I cried. I had a hissy fit, you know, for a second, but I kind of like, I just had this peace. Like, I don't know how, and I'm not going to force, I'm not going to push. But this will happen. Maybe it will happen later. One of my favorite authors is Jen Sincero, and her book wasn't a bestseller for 3 years after she published it. Like, you just don't know the journey. But I rallied my community together, and I just shared my dream with them, and I was just vulnerable. And they told me, like, oh, well, you would have to have, you know, at least 5,000 pre-orders sold. And we had sold like 600 and I had pushed pretty hard. So I was like, ugh. it's not looking good. And I just was like, you know what? This will happen. And it's not my thing to hold on to. I'm just going to like, I have this phrase I say, like, hold it loosely. Like, I don't think we should be squeezing the life out of anything that we want. Like, hold it, but hold it loosely. And so I just reminded myself of that and did that. And I told my community what was going on and I sent an email and I just let it sit for a while. And then actually I did not have to go back to Target. They came to me and they said, we can't get this book out of our site. Like, it's everywhere. And I looked at my numbers and we had sold 8,000 pre-orders. Wow. And I was like, I was on a road trip. Wow. I was traveling. I wasn't even trying. It just, if you really like man, if you really, really want something and you just know it's yours, you don't have to freak out. You don't have to force. You don't have to push. Like, do the work. Show up. Like, I showed up. I was vulnerable and I asked for what I needed and I wrote those emails from the heart and I scheduled some posts, but then I just left it and I held it loosely. And it came to me and I knew it would. So I think it just, sometimes we push because it's a goal. But why is it a goal? Do you really want it? Sometimes I think things don't happen because we never really wanted it. But I really wanted Target.
I love that story.
That's so
Thanks good. For sharing it with us.
Congratulations.
Yes. Thanks. Congratulations. And your community sounds like they love you and that you've served them well.
Yeah. I love them so much and they return it every day. It's the kindest. I almost never get a negative DM. Like, it's just the most positive, immersive experience to run that community.
Mm-hmm. Allie, what is motherhood teaching you right now?
Oh, that's a good question. Right now it's re-teaching me flexibility. We actually had our kids in school this year at the beginning of the year, for the first time. And it was like, it was okay. And then we actually had a really scary experience happen at the school my kids go to, and the way the school handled it was not cool. And I pulled them out in 2 seconds. I was like, well, it's fine. Back home we go, I guess. They are here again, freshly here again. And I'm just like, it's teaching me to breathe and to calm down. And I'm so happy to be back in like our homeschool zone. But it's always an adjustment. Like, it's their moods, their personalities, their plan for the day is different than mine. And so I feel like I'm relearning how to just be flexible and again, hold everything loosely and just flow, just be water and flow. It feels like that's the secret to being a mom.
So great. Good. And isn't that the truth?
That's good.
Yes. Allie, thanks so much. We so appreciate your time today. And this has been so incredibly helpful.
Good. Thank you so much for asking such great questions. You guys really created an atmosphere where I could like share. And that creates really great content that changes the world. So thank you.
Hey friends, thank you for joining us for Moms Unscripted, a production of MOPS International. A quick reminder that opinions discussed are solely the opinions of the individuals and do not necessarily represent the organization. For more information on today's episode, please visit mops.org/momsunscriptedpodcast for show notes. And join us again next week for another unscripted conversation around the MOPS table.